Continuing our study from 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 5, again it reads, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Last week, we looked at knowledge. This week, I want to briefly take a look at self-control. Now, having been here in Evant for a few months now, I can say pretty surely that I have discovered the thing that I like least about living here. And I think that is that there are no donuts that are readily available in town. You see, I guess I got a little bit spoiled in Fort Worth because I was trying to think of, and I had imagined within about a 5-minute drive, there were about half a dozen donut shops around my house. And unfortunately, because I really like fat pills, that I had donuts a lot more than I should have, that this afternoon's subject is probably the thing that I struggle with the most, self-control. You see, I know what I should do. I should eat right and exercise regularly. That's something that we basically all know that we ought to do. But I don't really like to work out, and I really like junk food. I like stuff that I shouldn't eat a lot more than I should. Now, I know better, but I have a hard time controlling myself. I would prefer to give in to my cravings and do what I want to do or just not do what I know I need to do. Self-control is a very hard thing, and to be totally honest, it is probably the thing that I struggle with the most. Just giving in to my mere whims and fancies, just doing whatever I want to do, and not being controlled and knowing that I ought to be doing something else. There are four different times. Two of them are in this passage in 2 Peter chapter 1 where it mentions self-control in the New Testament. One is Acts chapter 24 and the other is Galatians chapter 5. I want to look at these two other passages that speak of self-control this afternoon to give us a little bit better picture what it really means. Now, it's pretty obvious what self-control means. It's self-explanatory. It means to control oneself. It's something that I have to do for myself. It's not something that you can do for me. You can't control me, and I can't control you like I ought to. It's something that I have to do for myself. In Acts chapter 24, starting in verse 24, we have here Paul preaching to Felix and his wife Drusilla, being interviewed by them about things like self-control. It says, starting in verse 24, that after some days when Felix came to with his wife Drusilla, a Jewish, that he sent for Paul and heard him concerning faith in Christ. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." It's kind of interesting, the things that specifically Paul addressed when he was discussing this to Felix. One of them was self-control. First, righteousness, being right with God. Self-control, controlling myself and what I do. And ultimately, the result of whether I do these things or not. It says, Felix was afraid. And I understand that. I really do. Self-control can be a scary thing when we really stop and think about it. For one, because it's so very difficult. It is difficult to control myself. And you think, it's not just something physical that I go out to do. Because, I can stop myself from having road rage. Now, I know when people, it seems like on 84 in between here and Gatesville, that despite the fact that there are quite a few passing lanes, that people don't seem to know how to use them properly, that they can go 65 and a 75 until they get into the passing lane, and they'll do 85 in the passing lane, which prevents you from passing them. And it bothers me a little bit, but I can control that. I can make myself not get overly agitated. But that's pretty easy. Things like that are really pretty easy. Sometimes they're harder for others than some, but I want you to stop and think about really what it means to control ourselves. Because where do actions come from? It's my own desires, right? Now think about that. Consider for a moment that Christ never sinned. In 33 some odd years on earth, he never sinned once. He never committed a sin. Not only that, he never even thought of something sinful. He never even desired to do a sinful thing. Consider that. He was never unjustly angry. He never lusted after something. He never thought about anything that was sinful. He controlled himself perfectly. Self-control starts with our own desires. James says that is where sin ultimately comes from, is our desires within us. That's what we need to learn to control, to truly have self-control. Controlling our desires. That tells me that I can. If I can gain self-control, that means I can conform my desires from what I want to what God wants. That I can change. That's hard. But it's also necessary. Again, the things that we're told that Paul reasoned with him about, righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, because there is going to be a judgment to come, it is necessary that I learn self-control. It's not an option. It's not something that I can do every once in a while or control myself when I know those things that are a little bit easier for me to control. Well, I'll control those, but those things that are really hard, maybe I'll try, maybe not, but those are really hard, too hard for me. That's not the case. We know it's not the case. But is it hard? It's the hardest thing we will ever do. There is nothing harder in our life that we will ever try to do than to control ourselves. Sometimes people will make an excuse, and you have phrases like, sow your wild oats. You know, oh, well, you know, he needs to just go out and sow his wild oats. You know, boys will be boys. What are people saying? Oh, well, it's too much to expect that maybe because of age or inexperience or whatever, that people should really, truly control themselves. It's interesting that I've noticed recently that I like to listen to Pandora Radio, where you can kind of create your own station that of the type of music that you like to listen to. And in listening to this, that there's a song that keeps repeating in this that is by Kenny Chesney, he's a country music singer, and it's something along the lines of I want to go to heaven, or no, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go now. Some of you might have heard the song, and the thing is, it's not the only song like it. There's actually several songs that I've heard that, if and not the whole song that's about that, there's at least parts of it. I know what I ought to do. I know I need to be right with God, but I'm going to do that later on. As a matter of fact, right at the end of my life is when I will do that. I know it's necessary, but right now I just want to go have fun. I want to do what I want to do. I don't want to control myself. I want to have fun. There is a misnomer. There's a thought that being a Christian, being righteous, being right with God, controlling oneself and conforming one's will to God means that we have to live miserable lives. That's simply not the case, though. Because God created us, right? He did. He created us. So if he created us, he knows how best we operate. If God says, okay, you as a human, that this is the best best kind of a life that you can live right here, just like this. And if you go outside of that, that's not going to be best. It might be okay, there might be good spots, but this is the absolute best. But we say, well, I don't want to do that. I want to have moments of fun over here when I could have true joy and happiness right there. We give in. We give in to the lie that this world is it, or what is immediate right in front of us is what's important. And we forget about controlling ourselves, conforming ourselves to God's will. The other time that this term self-control is used is in Galatians chapter 5, probably a fairly familiar passage to most of us. Galatians 5, starting in verse 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." We're told, "Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ and have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Self-control, it's one of the fruit of the Spirit, right? It's the fruit of the Spirit. We know it's the fruit of the Spirit. We're told that because of this, we know where it comes from. It is the product, the produce of living a spiritual life, living a God-centered, focused life. I can't truly gain self-control unless really I give myself over to God. Unless I deny myself, we're told in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Christ says, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Really, that's what self-control ultimately means, that we no longer desire to fulfill our own will, that we give that up completely, totally, that we control that, we conform it to God's will. That's what self-control really is, that I am no longer living my life for me, but I'm living my life for Christ. I'm controlling that. I'm managing it. It's difficult, though, is it not? That there is a war that is going on. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that there's a war going on within our bodies. The Spirit, what we know to do, it desires to do right. I want to be a faithful Christian. I want to do what God desires of me. But the flesh is weak. Christ knew this. The flesh is weak, and because of it, we have desires of the flesh, and we want to fulfill those things. And we can within the realm that God has placed it. But when we go beyond that, when we make that our priority, then when we forget about self-control. Because truly, how many of us really think about that throughout the midst of our day, that am I really controlling myself, or I'm letting my passions, my desires take over? Am I letting emotion get in the way of what I know to be right? One of the things that we're told about the fruit of the Spirit, all of these things, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, it says, against such there is no law. In essence, that there is no time that any one of these things can be bad. Every time that they are practiced, they are good. Every time they are good. There's a few instances throughout the Bible we can see this. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, we're told, "A soft answer turns away wrath." Now consider that. Self-control. When someone is abusing you, now I have a problem with this. When somebody is angry with me, or when somebody is speaking to me derogatorily, when they're condemning me, especially when I know it to be unjust, I have a hard time controlling that. That it flustered me. I don't like for people to be upset with me at all. I don't. It really bothers me. And so if I'm ever confronted, I'm not very good with confrontation. If I'm ever confronted, I get really flustered. But we're told a soft answer turns away wrath. Controlling oneself, putting even somebody that is unjustly accusing you or berating you, putting them before ourselves, controlling that, replying with a soft answer, not returning blow for blow. Because what happens then? Well, if somebody kicks my dog, I'm going to go shoot theirs. That's the way people are generally, right? And we're not supposed to be. We're supposed to control that. Again, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, we're told, "Be angry and do not sin." God knows that we are going to be angry at some point in our lives, that we are going to be angry. And it's not wrong to be angry. There are things that we ought to be angry about. We ought to always be angry, ought to always be furious and hate sin. And anytime sin rears its head, that ought to anger us. It ought to anger us when unjust things take place. But we are told, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on our wrath. That means we have to control it. We have to control our emotions. That's a difficult thing to do. It's very difficult when especially we know that we are the innocent ones, that whoever is against us is unjust. That's when it's really hard. It's easy to be relatively meek when we're wrong and we're being punished because of that. Now, if we are being punished or persecuted when we are in the right and our accuser, our oppressor is wrong, that's a different thing. That takes an extraordinary amount of self-control. But is this something that we really even think about or practice? Controlling ourselves, controlling that emotion, doing what we know to be right. It's just about, if not the hardest thing, I really think it is the hardest thing that we will ever do, controlling ourselves. Putting God first, denying ourselves. Is this something that you do? Something that I have to constantly ask myself if I am doing every day, every moment of every day, really thinking this, conforming myself to God's will. Am I practicing self-control? It's something for us as Christians that we really need to consider and do better every chance that we can to grow in this, to learn true self-control. And I want to encourage you in this, because truly controlling oneself, developing self-control, means that we give ourselves totally over to God. Is that something you have done? If it is something that you've done, do you continue to do that? Because it's not a one-time thing. It's not giving yourself over at one time in the past and that's fine. It's continually denying yourself. Self-control. I want to encourage you with these things. Continue to grow and always strive to do better. I offer the invitation. If it is the case that you have lacked self-control, this is something that you can change. God expects us of it. He knows that we can. And so I'd encourage you, if you've been struggling with that, turn to God. Ask for forgiveness and repent of that. If it has been publicly, you can make a public confession. If you have a need, if we can encourage you, work with you, if there's anything we can do, we would invite you to come as we stand and sing the song of invitation. Heavenly.